Welcome to a special edition of the 155 Election Podcast, the Ward 8 Hamilton City Council by-election. Episode 167.
Clint Davies, you're running for city councilor in the Ward 8 by-election.
I am.
Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
Thank you.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I moved to Hamilton in 2021, and I came from Calgary, where I had spent 40 years there. I built a house, so that gave me intimate dealings with the planning department. And then I've also run into a number of bylaw issues and had ended up reading lots of bylaws. I decided I needed to run for council to try and straighten things out and fix things.
Why are you running for Ward 8 councillor, and why should we vote for you?
I'm running for Ward 8 councillor because there's things that I encountered during the building of our house and with bylaws that I think need changing. And I live in Ward 8. And when my councillor left, I said, I can make the run for council and I can try to fix things and make the city run better.
Do you live in Ward 8, yes or no?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on residency and representation?
I think it's best if a councillor lives in the ward because then they can experience what's going on in the ward rather than living somewhere else and just hearing about it.
What are two of your citywide priorities for Hamilton?
My first priority is to reduce and simplify the development rules for large buildings, condos and apartment buildings, rentals, so that the developers can get them built and approved quickly. And my second priority is to redo many of the bylaws that are confusing and don't make sense.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 8?
My first priority is to change the development rules for replacing houses. There are many old houses in my ward and they can't be replaced, so the owners are stuck with doing fake renovations. My second priority is to fix the roads.
The city of Hamilton is facing a fiscal crisis. According to the city's own financial projections, Hamilton's discretionary reserve was forecast to be down to just $1 in 2027. The city's last fiscal update was November 2023, so none of us know the current state of city finances. In November 2026, when the new council term begins, decisions will need to be made. What are your thoughts on this coming fiscal cliff, and how do you plan to approach budgeting?
First of all, I think there's many instances where the city is wasting money on the way they run things, so I think there are certainly ways that the city can save money in the way it actually does things. Property taxes, I know, are a big issue. They come up all the time, and property taxes do need to go up as costs go up. They cannot be just kept steady. From reading the reports, we do have some reserves that are available. So based on the readings that I did, there are reserves that are there. We supposedly have $1.4 billion in reserves. So we'll have to probably dig into the reserves to cover some of our operating costs.
As Ward 8 councillor, you will have around $2 million a year in discretionary funds to allocate. How do you plan to manage these funds?
I would look at what the first talk to the community associations and various communities around the ward and find out what their needs are, and then prioritize those and spend the money to best meet the needs of the ward residents.
You're promising to improve City Hall. I'm feeling exhausted on this topic because I heard every candidate in the 2022 change election promise they were going to make City Hall transparent. If elected, you have 1 year inside City Hall before the new council term begins in November 2026. How will you use this year to prepare an action plan on transparency for the next council term?
I would first of all have to determine what the rules are and what I'm allowed to do, because there's legal constraints on what can be released and what can't. And then I think my ward newsletter would be a way to transmit information about what's going on at City Hall that's necessary. And if City Hall won't release it, then I can release it if I'm allowed to.
October 8th, you'll be sworn into office and take your seat in the council horseshoe. On that day, council will vote on zoning reforms, including upzoning Upper James between the Link and Rymel, residential zoning reform to permit medium-density missing middle housing along minor and major arterial roadways. The housing crisis will be a literal day one issue for you. How will you approach planning approvals And how will you use zoning reform to address housing shortages?
Within my platform, I have stated that I want to change the rules so that arterial roads have unlimited development on them, so the developers can decide what's profitable for them. And in communities, designs that are appropriate for the community without changing the character of the community. I won't know what the rules are until the rules are actually released that their city is trying to produce or the staff is trying to produce. However, my experience as a staff doesn't necessarily know what they're doing.
Let's discuss development charges. Mississauga Mayor Carolyn Parrish was elected on June 10th, 2024. She formed a housing task force that first met on July 10th and issued a comprehensive report 6 months later in January 2025. The report's action plan was implemented by a unanimous vote of Mississauga City Council. It creates deep incentives for new market affordable and family housing and has time limits to ensure developers actually build. This proves municipalities can respond quickly to housing market conditions. What are your thoughts on development charges? Do you have goals for development charge reform, and how will you approach this issue if elected?
Having read the documents for Mississauga, I think their ideas of delaying the charges or going to other levels of government to help cover some of the development costs is actually a very good idea. They're talking about changing it so that the charges aren't payable up front, and they're payable after the fact or when there's actually income coming in so they can sell it so they have some income to pay the charges is a very good idea. I'm open to all ideas, and I think it's a great idea to talk to the developers that we have in Hamilton to get their ideas and put together a way to get affordable housing built.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 8. Upper James is by far Hamilton's most dangerous road, with nearly every section significantly more dangerous than average for both motorists and pedestrians. What's your plan to address safety on Upper James? Does your plan include unpopular but necessary changes? And if so, how do you plan to implement them?
There, I'm going to disagree with you. I travel Upper James a lot between the Escarpment and Mohawk. And I also go up as far as the Link many times. I rarely go south of that because of the traffic lights after Stone Church. So I'm not familiar with that, but I rarely see any accidents in my travels, so I don't believe that those statistics are accurate. I see far more accidents on Upper Wellington.
What is your overall plan to address road safety?
First of all, there's a little simple change that could be made with pedestrian buttons. When you push the buttons right now, they take forever to cause a light change, so pedestrians are jaywalking. Safety for pedestrians that way. Sidewalks. We have a lot of sidewalks in the city. They're rarely used. I ride my bicycle a lot, and I rarely see people on the sidewalks. I would like to reclassify the sidewalks as multi-use pathways and implement an education program that I refer to as Wheels Yield to Legs. And the third thing is I think we need more no right turn on red signs on major streets.
Hamilton City Council meetings. Attendance, respect, and focus are all issues. The job is demanding with competing demands. I want to ask you about one specific issue. Councillors leaving, not attending, or not focusing attention on public delegations. What expectation will you set for yourself when it comes to listening to delegations to council?
Well, delegations, I believe, are coming from the residents, and we need to hear what the residents have to say. And as a councillor, my responsibility is to be there for meetings when they're scheduled. That's why I've committed to the job.
Ontario's Municipal Act was amended to make mayors more powerful and more accountable as the head of council. How do you believe strong mayor powers have changed the role of councillors, and how do you see yourself achieving your platform in cooperation with the mayor and the 14 other councillors?
I support the strong mayor powers. I know that council can override the strong mayor decision. However, I believe that by working to seek consensus between the councillors and the mayor, we can achieve a better city and better results for the city.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
I hear many complaints about the DART service and its reliability for arriving on time. I think we need to review the contract for DARTs and see that we can improve service for the DART customers. I also think there's a problem with snowplows in the wintertime that would greatly improve it. Snowplows, when they go around corners, leave huge piles of snow at the exits from sidewalks onto the road. If they paused and use their blade to scrape a hole through the snow pile than we could get from their sidewalks, which are shoveled by the owners, onto the road so we can cross streets. It's an accessibility issue.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
City parks need washrooms. They need to be portable washrooms should be in all parks where somebody's likely to be there more than an hour. We also need garbage cans in parks, and the garbage cans and washrooms should be there all year round. People use parks in the wintertime, not just in the summertime. On major roads like Main Street and King Street, we need to synchronize the lights so that the people can drive straight through without having to constantly stop at red lights, wasting gas, getting frustrated, and increasing the CO2 releases in the city.
It's August 2026. I'm writing a review of the 4-year council term that's just ending. What 3 words do you hope I'll use to describe your 10 months as a city councilor?
Changed council's thinking.
What experience has most motivated you to seek a seat on Hamilton City Council?
I don't like the way the city staff is working and the way they write things, and the fact that city council just rubber stamps everything that the staff produces without generally reading through it or really understanding what they're trying to do.
Thank you. That's the end of the questions. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
My experience in dealing with the city is that staff have entrenched ideas, many based on long ago ideas, that they defend with bylaws and slant reports. Council has in the past not challenged staff thinking, and I want to change that.
Thank you very much for joining us.